What's up? Welcome to NExpress, the Nintendo show of GoombaStomp.com. I am your favorite host, Tim Mason. With me, I've got the lesser host, Ricky D.
What's up, Tim Mason? What's up, Nintendo Nation? I am the man without kids on this podcast. The man who does not want kids, unless they are old enough to play basketball and can make it to the NBA and make me and them rich.
If they're not good at video games yet, you're gonna actually get calls or something now, yeah. It's going to be parents contacting you, though, like, please take my child. Oh, also here this week is Mark Kellerop again.
Hello again. 2 weeks in a row.
I know. It's been a treat. Mark, you're just going to be the new regular since Patrick's been so busy. We'll maybe see him again someday. I don't know. We love you, Patrick. Hope that you're doing well. And joining us once again for the second or third time? Second time? My good buddy, Alex Paterno from Game Boys.
Yeah, I'm there all the time, pretty regularly. This, I think it's been like 7 years.
Alex, when you guys do the Game Boys podcast, does Tim have to take his breaks to put his baby to bed?
We wait until the baby is asleep before we start recording.
Oh, you guys are smart.
That's the trick. But that also means that when a recording session runs long, like, I'm not even thinking about, like, doing the dishes or getting ready for bed until, like, 10 o'clock.
Yeah, so we're all on the West Coast, which makes it a lot easier to do that. It means we record at, like, 7:30.
Yeah.
Rick, you're on the other coast. That would be painful for you.
Yeah, because right now it's about almost 10 p.m. for me.
Yeah, so you're definitely doing us a solid recording this late. Mark, what time is it there?
I'm on the same time zone as you, Rick.
In the summertime, I don't know if Mark agrees, but I would prefer to record at nighttime so I don't use up my daytime, especially when the sun's out and it's nice outside. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely.
Anyhow, we're here to talk about Nintendo, not the summer.
Yeah, behind the curtains look. So, Alex, since it has been a little while since you were on, and I'm pretty sure you admitted to be the only one with time on your hands before we started recording.
Yeah.
You've been playing something on the SNES Classic.
Yeah, something brand new to me. Or no, not on the SNES Classic, on the Super Nintendo Online. Like
online,
the
Switch service. Yeah, okay.
So they just dropped a bunch of new games, and all I knew about was that Donkey Kong Country 2 was coming. So I opened it up. There's Donkey Kong Country 2, Super Mario All-Stars, and I think a couple others. But the one that caught my attention was Mario Super Picross, which is a Japan-only title that they ported to the Switch, released, and also didn't bother translating when they did that. They just decided to put it out in the original Japanese. So if you haven't played Picross, it's like a number grid game where you have to figure out which squares to fill in, and it makes a picture. I'm a big fan of this genre. I played Mario Picross on Game Boy, the Game Boy version on my 3DS. Did not know this game even existed, but it has been really interesting to kind of play through it and see the like aesthetic and presentation of this game since it only came out in Japan and there is no localization.
Getting the unfiltered experience.
Well, one of the things that caught me off guard was when you beat a set of levels, like once you beat 12 levels, you get a little thing from Mario who says something, but I don't know because it's in Japanese, but it's like Mario in a speech bubble and him presenting dialogue. And I feel like him speaking is so rare in games that it actually like took me a minute to process what I was seeing. And then there's also Wario levels, and it was the same thing of if you beat 12, you get a little like dialogue thing. But again, I can't read Japanese. I have no idea what it said.
We'll never know. But you can now go ahead and just like write in your own bubbles.
Yeah, exactly.
And then send them to Nintendo and say, here, I translated for you. Maybe they'll get a kick out of it.
Right. Have you guys played Picross games?
Yes. I've never played one.
Oh, it's really good.
Nonogram is the other name for them.
Yeah, exactly. But I haven't played this game. But it's weird because I'm looking at according to the internet, the full list of games available, and it is not listed. And that includes the Japanese games. Because, by the way, you can get some Fire Emblem games over in the Japanese NES.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, you can get Shadow the Dragon and the Blade of Light.
Oh, that's cool.
Right.
Yeah, and I was going through my 3DS and saw that I had like a bunch of games. So I feel like Nintendo has a soft spot for this genre, but they just like haven't done it a lot in the States.
So you're kind of saying that they release the games that they want to play?
It's what it sounds like. I mean, so there's Pokemon Picross, Zelda Picross, Mario's had two titles. They've done a bunch of like random releases, but then in the States it's either like not advertised or it's a mini game that you can only unlock through Nintendo's like customer service type stuff, like My Nintendo and Club Nintendo. So it's just kind of weird to see that there's this game that they clearly like, but they have yet to figure out how to sell it to an American audience.
You know what? I'm wrong. It is added. Yeah, it's just not in order, but it is on the list, along with the Peacekeepers, right? So they added... So this was added this week with Donkey Kong Country 2. So my question for you is, why didn't you play Donkey Kong Country 2, Diddy's Conquest, one of the greatest games ever made?
That's what I was going in there to play, and then I saw that that was added, and I was like, oh, never mind. I really like simple puzzle games. Plus, I work in IT, so every now and then when I'm working from home and all I'm doing is watching a loading bar while I install updates and whatnot, I'll just, like, bang out a puzzle and have, you know, a, like, two-minute distraction. And Diddy Kong's Quest is a little bit more involved, I think.
You know, I've been working from home, too, and I'm really tempted to play video games when I work because I can get my work done, like, pretty fast. But I just feel guilty.
I do feel a little bit guilty, but then I look at my computer, I'm like, yep, it's still loading. And at that point, I'm like, I'm not getting paid to watch a loading bar. I'm not going to do this.
Yeah, that's fair.
This is why companies should pay you the exact same salary, but you work a day less per week. Because you get all of your work done before your shift is over.
Exactly, yeah. Like, my job is done. My boss is happy. But there are times where it's like, there's literally nothing happening right now.
Yeah, think about how much happier you would be, Alex, if you can leave early, go home, play video games. When you come in the next day, you're going to be so pleasant. You're going to love your boss. You're going to give him a birthday gift. Man.
If I could just, like, play Switch at my desk when there's nothing to do.
Do you guys think that if you work at Nintendo, you can just play video games while you work?
I think in the right department.
I mean, that was one of their jobs.
But that's part of your work, right?
Like, yeah, it's just like, I'm working on this new game. I got to do research to see what we've done with Mario in the past. So, yes, it's necessary that I play Thousand Year Door right now. I don't see how that's not just research that you should be getting paid for.
I mean, I think everyone should be allowed to play video games when they work and do research about the video game industry. The world would be a better place.
You hear all sorts of stories about how they aren't always tinkering and playing on lunch breaks and stuff like that. So, I mean, that's how Splatoon came about, was just some of the developers were playing around on their lunch breaks.
So I don't know if I should say this, but my brother works at Ubisoft. I mentioned this plenty of times on the podcast, right? So everyone at Ubisoft, they pretty much just play games and drink on the shift, like, while working. Like, if you go to the Ubisoft office, they have, like, bottles of liquor in their desk. Like, they go out for drinks at lunchtime. Like, I'm pretty sure most of these people are tipsy by the end of the day.
Yeah, I know. I got to visit Valve in the past, and they definitely had alcohol and some chill walls. So they just want their employees to be happy and satisfied with their working conditions. So, I mean, whatever works. Anyway, should we talk about Nintendo, or do we just want to talk about drinking
at work?
Well, I'm pretty sure Nintendo wouldn't be the sort of office that would allow their workers to drink.
No, they're a little bit more traditional. And I think, you know, each company should do what works for that particular company. I don't see that working in Nintendo just because tonally it seems off-brand. But anyway, with absolutely no tangent whatsoever, you guys, there have been a lot of rumblings about a Switch Pro, all sorts of quote-unquote leaks. And I mean, this has been a rumor for a long time, but we wanted to talk about what we expect to see if a Switch Pro or an upgraded model ends up being a reality, which doesn't seem like a stretch. I mean, every single portable has gotten some sort of iterative upgrade. And I don't know. What do you guys want from the new Switch or whatever naming convention they go with for this? And maybe we should start there. What would you guys name an upgraded Switch? And
the
what
Switch
do you
Pro. From? Switch Pro. I don't think you should be too... I don't think they should think about it too hard. I don't think it should be too complicated, too confusing. The thing about the Xbox, right, is it's so confusing to the point that when the pre-orders went live for the new Xbox, which I believe is called the Series X or XX, whatever it's called, like a lot of people, and I do mean a lot of people, actually accidentally ordered the older model. Whereas whereas with the PlayStation, right, because PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, PS4, PS5, it's not really confusing. 4 or 5, anyone that can count knows the difference, right? So on the day of pre-order sales, when they went live, nobody bought a PS4. There was zero sales for PS4. Of course, the PS5 sold out. But with the Xbox, the day of pre-orders, that's not the case. There was a ton of people that actually ordered the older machine. So clearly they got confused. So you do not want to confuse the moms and the dads who you don't want a Wii U Wii problem, right? So I think calling it the Switch Pro is just good enough. It makes sense. Like, everybody understands, like, if it says Pro, it's probably a more powerful or better console.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, is what they should do here is just tag one word onto it and a word that implies that there is something better, like Switch Pro, Switch Plus, just something to signify improvement, and leave it at that. No letters, no numbers, just one word.
What about a symbol? I think
that's the clearest way to do it.
What about just a mushroom? Like, the original Switch? Little
Switch
Mario.
Mushroom emoji.
So wait, mushroom? Like a symbol? Boom. Like Big the way Mario. The way Prince became... like a symbol, like he changed a name, but when he changed his name, like you couldn't really pronounce his name because it was a symbol.
So everyone just said the artist formerly known as Prince.
The artist formerly known
seems
as Prince.
Seems reasonable to me.
The console formerly known as the Nintendo Switch. I love it.
So what you're saying, Tim, is they should change the Switch's name, and then the new console is still the Switch, and the old Switch is the console formerly known as Switch.
I mean, to be clear, and you can go back and listen to this, I said call it the Switch Mushroom. I mean,
the
icon.
Came in with the
keep the Switch there, but just add an icon to it. And then when people say, oh, yeah, how do you pronounce that? Just say, like, however you want.
I kind of like your idea, but I'm not entirely sure as to why you chose a mushroom. Why a mushroom? Why not a Goomba?
Because Mario. When Mario takes a mushroom, he gets bigger. He powers up.
So do, like, we eventually get the Tanuki Switch?
Yeah, for sure. When a couple, like 2 years or two additional years from now, when we're about to get another new model, you give him, yeah, Tanuki.
And then we get the lost Switch, which is the one that Japan didn't think we were ready for.
And then they really blow our minds and they give us the Switch Star, and the trailer is just someone throwing it at a wall. It's invincible. You can't even destroy it.
Have you tried throwing your Switch at a wall? Do you know that it's not invincible?
You know what? Considering my Switch has been dropped exactly one time, and it, from like no distance at all, and that's when I started experiencing drift, I'm going to say I don't think it is indestructible, but isn't there a video of someone dropping one from a drone or something insane like that?
Probably. I don't know, but they're not indestructible. Ryan's fell off of like a table and the joystick broke off.
Well, I've actually seen the videos when they dropped a Switch from a drone. It does break, but it still works.
Which is, I mean, Nintendo builds stuff pretty dang sturdy in general.
What if it was invisible? Because I don't know if you've seen it. They have those invisible shields. Like they're actually legit invisible. So it somehow replicates the surroundings. So as long as you don't move and you're within like natural light, you will be invisible so long as you're inside the shield.
Are we going back to playing video games at work?
Exactly.
You
knew exactly where I was going with this. Yes. You bring your Switch to work. Nobody has any clue the Switch is on your desk.
Man, he is just glued to his computer. He is just working so hard.
Okay, so that's what I want, is I want to stream. I want like the Xbox xCloud or the PlayStation Remote Play experience, but in reverse, where I can be on my work computer and play my Switch.
Yeah.
That way I can like alt tab away from it. But in seriousness, I think the things that I'm looking for with, if they're going to release a new Switch, I don't know that I care too much about bumping the resolution up to, you know, 1440 or to 4K. I do want to see better battery life, and I want to see them revamp the UI. I think that's been suffering for a while. And booting up my 3DS today, realizing like, oh, right, folders. That was a thing that you guys had 6 years ago. And I really want to see them fix that.
Okay, before Mark cuts in, I just want to add Street Pass and also the Joy-Cons. Because I actually, by the way, I just...
literally about to say both.
Yeah, I went out and I bought... I'm always confused. Do we call it a set of Joy-Cons or Joy-Con? I bought two or one.
Pair of Joy-Cons.
A pair.
I think it is a Joy-Con pair.
I don't think so, because I think it's the left and right. But then again, you don't go to a shoe store and say, I need a left shoe and a right shoe. You just buy a pair of shoes, right? Even if it's left and right. Which doesn't make sense, because they're not equal. One's right and one's left. But that always confused me. But yes, okay, we'll just call it a pair of Joy-Cons. So I ended up getting the purple and yellow Joy-Cons, finally, because my Joy-Cons were just completely dead with the whole drift issue. And I couldn't play games like Mario Party. But I'm afraid that within 6 months, these Joy-Cons are going to have the exact same issue. Mark, what about you? What should we have? Switch Pro, what do you want?
Well, first of all, I don't care. I know Cameron also said the same thing last time on the podcast, but I don't understand 4K. I don't care about it. Just the games are what really matter to me most. But if we were talking about like the system itself, I would really say they need to fix the controller issue. And then the other thing is we just need more UI options. Like, I don't care what that is. If it's themes, menus, menu music would maybe be nice for a change.
Yeah.
But, so, like, you want more sort of features like Netflix and Hulu?
I mean, those would be nice, too, but I really use my Switch just for gaming. But, yes, people would definitely ask for that type of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, because, look, if you live in a small household with one TV and you have five people in your house and your parents are watching Game of Thrones and you can't sit there and watch the same show as them and you want to watch something on Netflix, like, if you have the Switch, it helps, right?
Yeah, it's so, definitely a good platform.
It reminds me of when the PlayStation was released, right? And one of the reasons why a lot of people that I know, and probably just about everybody, decided to buy the PlayStation over to GameCube was because it came with a CD player. And so you didn't have to go out and buy a CD player. You got the CD player within your video game system. It was fantastic. It was like a 2-for-1 deal. And so, I mean, times have changed. It's not really exactly the same thing, but it still, it does benefit some people if they can watch Netflix or Hulu or whatever it is that they have. Like, you know, there's like 20 million subscriptions, right? Disney Plus, for example. Like, you imagine you're a kid and you get the Nintendo Switch for Christmas and you get a Disney Plus subscription and you can watch your Disney Plus subscription on your Nintendo Switch. Bam! That's awesome. I'll be flipping out. I'll be a very happy kid.
And I want Mando Joy-Cons.
Okay, I do want that, yeah. I know, personally, I don't feel like the streaming service thing is as big of a deal for me, but I also know that I have a lot of electronics. And so, like, I'm thinking, and right now in my living room, there's like six things that can stream Netflix and Hulu, and one of those things is the TV itself. But also for people who like the Switch is the one console they have, or it's the thing they take with them, I can see the value in them finally bringing those things. But I want to say that Nintendo has said that it's on the developers and the companies to do that, and that they don't actually have anything in place to stop those apps from being made.
Yeah, I was going to say, because I think it was Hulu.
Hulu still has an app for it, yeah.
It has an app on Switch. And then Disney Plus, before it launched on their website, it said it was coming to the Switch, but it didn't.
Oh, and interesting.
Netflix also said the same thing in the past, that it was coming to the Switch, but it also didn't. So my question is, why aren't those already on Switch? But Hulu is.
You see, I don't know about Hulu because I live in Canada, and so like it just doesn't work here. We have Crave instead. But you know what I would love, and I think I've said this multiple times on a podcast in the past. I was like, what if the Switch Pro has an additional slot in which you can insert your games from your guess, guys, from your
memory card?
No,
3DS.
Yes. Yes.
Uh-oh. But then you run into the whole like second screen issue.
But not all the games require a second screen.
I feel like most that functionality is like built into the game. I don't know.
I think the way you would have to do it is the main game takes up like the majority of the screen, and then like in a column on the right is the second screen.
Yeah.
Which, honestly, it could work. There have been jankier workarounds. But that would be nice, because I was looking at my 3DS library and thinking how sad I'll be if my 3DS ever dies and I can't play it anymore.
I'm thinking about a game like 3D Mario Land. Like, you don't need two screens.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So they can port the game to Switch. Right. Like, they can port the game to Switch. But I'm trying to think from, like, if you're Nintendo, would you make more money if people can just play the original 3DS Super Mario 3D Land on the Switch, or if you actually had to hire a team, port the game, you know, maybe improve the graphics and whatnot, and then release an additional version on the Switch plus physical copies, which costs money? Like, wouldn't it be cheaper if they just sold the games that already exist on the 3DS for the Switch? Because
just give me Kid Icarus Uprising.
Oh my god, for real, man. I could
do without the rest of it.
Dude, there's a lot of good games. A lot of good games. We're going to talk about it after the break.
Games.
We'll get there, yeah. I don't know. I think it'd be really cool, but I can understand the hesitancy and the difficulty in developing the hardware that can just automatically function with the existing cartridge. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying Nintendo couldn't solve it, but it would be kind of tricky. But I honestly would... I'm a simple guy. I think if they can release like Joy-Con 2.0 that eliminates the drift and simultaneously maybe just give a little bit of a power boost so that undocked, there's no difference in the experience between mm-hmm. when it is docked. Maybe if we can get the screen to 1080p and there's no snagging or anything, you know, there's some of the visual infidelities. Oh, yeah. I think if they could just smooth the portable play, I honestly think that's the selling point of the Switch. Like, you can play home console games anywhere. So if they really focus on that and like upping that experience, I honestly think there's no downside to it. It'd be near the perfect console at that point.
Mm-hmm. I still think, and we spoke about this 2 weeks ago, I still think they need to release eventually in the future. I don't think they're gonna have a choice. They will need to release a Nintendo Pass, which is similar to Game Pass. Because when the new Xbox gets released, and the reason why I say this is because I know a lot of people, and I've spoken about this many times on the podcast, a lot of people who really, really, really want to get a Nintendo console, but they just cannot afford to put down the money for the console, the controller, and then each game costs, like, in the States, it's $70, in Canada, it's mm-hmm. like $92, and they would love to play Mario and Zelda, and they can't. But I know people who are buying used, machines like the Wii U, the 3DS on eBay and buying a bulk of games for like $100 because they just can't afford a Switch, right? But mm-hmm. it's going to be interesting to see what happens with the quote-unquote next gen of consoles. If Xbox runs away and wins the quote-unquote console war, I hate to call it console war, but whatever, I think it's going to force, PlayStation, Nintendo to kind of reconsider how they sell their games in the future and how they want to include some kind of online subscription, because the Nintendo online subscription is weak, man. Like, I mean, those are good games, don't get me wrong, but it's like NES and Super Nintendo games, which were released over 30 years ago.
Yeah, well, and I think the problem with those is that these are games that, like you said, they're good games, but they're the games that Nintendo keeps banking on. They're the games that they keep looking to. When I booted up my 3DS today, I saw that I have Super Mario Brothers, and then I thought, oh, I could also play this on the Switch. I could play it on my Wii U. I could play it on the NES Classic. Like, I have four different copies of this game that were all purchased within the last, decade. And so I feel like they just, a wider service or a bigger service would do them just a big favor in that people can stop complaining of like, oh, look, you released Mario again.
Yeah. Well, before any new Switch models do arrive, we're going to take a break and actually take the time to say farewell to one of our older friends, the 3DS. So don't go anywhere. Welcome back to N Express. We're at our main event, a discussion of the 3DS, which has finally been stopped. Its reign of terror has come to an end, except for it was a reign of love and joy. If you're just joining us, with me, I've got Ricky D.
What's up, Tim Mason? What's up, Nintendo Nation? I have a question already.
Okay, sure.
So, do not laugh, but I've never been to Seattle, so I've never gone to see a baseball game at, hold on a second, is it called Safeco Field?
And not anymore. It's called T-Mobile Park now, but yes.
What? It was. You change a name? All right. Anyways, couldn't you order food or drinks using your Nintendo 3DS back in the day?
We will talk about that because Alex and I have actually been to a baseball game together where we both brought our 3DSs. And yes, you absolutely, I think you still can.
Probably. Nintendo did a great job of selling this as like a travel peripheral because you could also use it to get guide audio at the Louvre, I think.
Right. Yes. Yes. That is true. But can you order alcohol
at the Louvre using a 3DS? I don't think so, which makes baseball the superior activity.
No. I mean, at the baseball game, you can order a beer.
Oh, I don't know.
I think it was really oddly specific. It was like exclusively to get popcorn or something like that. I could be wrong, though. I didn't actually order anything, but you can totally look up stats and see how the game's progressing. It's really, really fun to play around on. That, just speaking, was Alex Paterno joining me from the Game Boys podcast, also from Goomba Stomp. And Mark Kalaroff is joining us as well.
Yes.
And by the way, just to clarify, so our listeners do not think we're on crack, it's basically an app, right? So you download the app and you take a virtual tour through the Louvre. It's not like you get
to. So that's what they did eventually, but they had a thing there, I think, where you would like load the cartridge into your 3DS and you could like use it to pull up audio narration about different pieces. I think that's how it worked.
Yeah, okay, it was an exclusive game, and then it was only sold at the Louvre.
Yeah, that's the fun part, is you could buy it and take it home.
Yeah.
How much do you think that's worth?
You just take it on fire.
I gotta know. I'm getting on eBay.
Okay, I'm gonna Google this while you guys talk.
So, in case you hadn't heard, the 3DS, which we've all seen slowly dwindling in production, has finally stopped production. Nintendo has pulled the plug. Once it is sold, that will be it.
Holy cow, guys.
Selling for. Yeah.
$424. As in $424.
Opened or sealed?
I'm looking at Canadian listings or Canadian prices, and this is sealed.
Yeah, I'm looking at that one. It's $317 US, I think. There's others for like that are opened, but it's as low as, you know, like $115.
Dude, I want to order this right now. Like, for real.
Wild.
Anyways.
That's such a weird thing to have produced in the first place. But anyway, that's Nintendo as a company. The 3DS has had a really, really interesting go of it over the course of, I think, 10 years?
Yeah, it launched 2011. So. Or no, it launched spring 2012. March 2012.
So not quite 10 years. So,
wait a minute. It technically launched in 2011 in Japan.
Oh, did it?
Yeah. It launched in Europe and Japan. Wait a minute. It launched in 2011, guys, not 2012.
Was it 2011?
I was going to say, I thought it was earlier than 2012.
According to Wikipedia, it launched in February 2011 in Japan, March in Europe, and March in North America, and March in Australia. March 25th. Okay, if we're going by North America, March 27th, 2011 is the official anniversary.
Okay, I got to figure out then. I think maybe the feature that I was using on the 3DS to figure out how long I've had it is faulty or wasn't a feature initially.
Yeah.
The XL launched in 2012. Maybe it's because you got yourself an XL?
No, I do have data from 2011. Never mind. I was looking at the activity tracker, which is just a good way to make yourself sad about how much time you've spent playing games.
Well, I don't need to see.
Yeah, oh, I did the math to know how much I played over the last 9 years on this console, and it is, let me pull it up here, 145 days, 15 hours, and 57 minutes.
I was recently reminded of the Ron Swanson quote, "I know what I'm about, son."
Wait, I'm confused. Alex, you've played over 3,500 hours?
Yes.
Wow.
Apparently over the course of 9 years. What's funny is that, like, the first year I played, I think it said over 700 hours, and who knows how accurate that is. But 2018, I played less than 100 hours. So whatever happened then, I just completely fell off with playing 3DS.
I mean, 2018, the Switch would have been out, and you would have had it for a good while.
Oh, yeah. And there weren't really any new games, I don't think, at that point that I was really itching for.
Yeah, probably not. So, and what time you did put into it might have been like a Pokemon release that year.
Oh, yeah, there's definitely, I looked at the top games, and like there are somewhere it's like, okay, yeah, Animal Crossing, of course, got a lot of hours. Pokemon got a lot of hours. Although Animal Crossing, maybe I can't count because my wife played Animal Crossing on there as well. And so that's going to pad it out a little bit. Maybe take off like a day of time.
Do you guys know what the last 3DS game you purchased was?
Yes, Fire Emblem Shadow of Valentia, but I did not. No, actually, no, wait. And no, it was Luigi's Mansion.
Okay.
Mine was actually Fire Emblem.
The last
and one I bought the collector's edition at Nintendo World in New York.
Wait, which nice. Fire Emblem? Cool. The original?
Shadows of Valentia.
Okay, yeah, so that was my second last purchase, and then I purchased the Luigi's Mansion 2.
Nice. Yeah, my last one was, I think, Fire Emblem Conquest Fates, but I'm still planning to purchase Samus Returns and Luigi's Mansion Original.
Wait a minute, Pokemon Sun came out before Luigi's Mansion, right?
Yeah, 2016.
Okay,
yeah.
So it was Luigi's Mansion, yeah.
Oh, yeah, and I got Ultra Moon as a gift, so maybe that was the last one?
Yeah, the end of 2018, I got Ultra Moon. I think that's the last game I bought for my 3DS.
Did Ultra Moon come out before Shadows of Valentia?
I think.
No. Shadows came out first.
Shadows came out first.
Yeah. That game came out like way back in 2015, I think.
No, 2018. No, late really? 2018, Shadows of Valentia. Yeah.
Yeah. 2015, 3DS would have still been in its prime.
For some reason, I thought that game came out like when we launched the website.
Well, are you thinking of Awakening? Awakening launched in like 2015.
No. Shadow of Valentia. That's
the No. That one came out in 2018.
Okay. Yeah, that was a later release.
That was after Conquest, even. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, look at us debating when games came out, which just goes to show you that this console has had a really healthy, long life cycle. And I think that it's kind of cool and exciting to have seen that complete turnaround, because when it launched, the 3DS was considered by many to be a failure, and it was, according to a lot of gaming media, struggling to stay alive, which I don't know when you guys adopted the 3DS. I mean, Alex, I know you already had one in 2011, apparently.
I had one literally day one.
Okay, so I was, I think, almost exactly 2 months later, because I got it for my birthday.
Yeah. So I don't know what it was. I watched E3, saw them pitch it, and just was like, I want this. This is going to be really good. And just sort of like trusted my gut. And I remember when it first came out, and yeah, everyone was like, this is a trash console. There's no good games for it. It doesn't do anything. And then like that just turned around, I think like 6 months later.
So I know when I got my console, and you know how I know? It was in April of 2015, because we recorded our first episode of this podcast April 2nd, 2015, and I got the console a week later.
I remember getting mine on, it was the Super Mario 3D Land bundle, and it was only at GameStop, and it was a red 3DS. And I still have it on my shelf.
I was going to ask what color you guys all went with.
Black, can I tell you guys my depressing, maybe sad, maybe sweet story about how I got the 3DS, which I've never told anybody? So
I'm very curious.
Okay, so I got the console in 2015 when we launched the podcast, right? Now, as Tim will remember, in 2015, I was running the website called Sound on Sight, and we rebranded Sound on Sight later in the year, and I ended up, like, losing my job. I was working at the elementary school teaching, and they had, like, some cutbacks. After 20 years, they cut down the program, and I was unemployed, and so I wanted to go back to school. So a really long story. Anyways, I ended up selling the site, and I took the money that I made with the website to launch Goomba Stomp, and I went back to school to learn everything about online marketing. So therefore I was unemployed, right? I just didn't really have money to spend on things like video games. So my mom was actually sweet enough to buy the console for me, which is really amazing because I don't think she's ever purchased any kind of electronic device. So I'm not entirely sure how she figured it out. Like, she actually went to Toys R Us by herself, asked the clerk like what machine it is that I wanted, and actually ended up buying the console, the 3DS, for me. And which is kind of embarrassing because, you know, when you're older, you don't want your parents to really buy you something, but it was kind of like really sweet at the same time. Mm-hmm. And it led to, you know, me getting a degree in online marketing, getting a really good job, launching this website and launching a podcast, and of course getting the console.
Also, Mom, Rick can speak for himself. I really want that Series X. So, I mean, no, it's not. If my mom actually listens to this podcast, which she does not, I can tell you that for certain.
Hey, man, 2 years later, I bought her a car, okay?
Like a champion. Look at that.
Nice.
Look at you being a good son. Yeah, I got mine just a couple months after release. I remember that was when I still worked at a GameStop, and one of my coworkers got it day of, and I was like, no, I'm going to wait until I have a little bit more money. And I remember being super jealous and like watching him bring it to work. And he always had it with him behind the counter, which I don't think he was supposed to, but he did. And granted, like, that was the point in time when there really weren't that many games for the thing. But,
well, it did have Super Mario 3D Land. That's all you needed.
Yeah. But also, do you remember the AR cards?
Yeah.
And how
I have the giant AR card from Club Nintendo.
Yeah.
Oh my God, Club Nintendo. Oh.
I got so many good prizes out of that, and it makes me so sad that they replaced it with what they did.
Can someone please explain to me why they replaced it? Why can they not bring it back? Club Nintendo is the greatest thing ever that wasn't a video game for Nintendo.
Maybe they were losing money or something.
Oh, they probably were. I mean, they were like, some of those physical prizes were really, really good. They kind of tapered off toward the end there, but they were giving away great stuff. And then I think right before it died, they just kind of said screw it and were giving people like full retail titles on 3DS.
Yeah, you know what I got? I got Animal Crossing New Leaf.
Oh, I got Donkey Kong Country Returns.
Oh, wow. No, I got New Leaf, the actual physical, you know.
Copy. Oh, nice. Yeah, oh, we didn't get physical game ones. We only got digital.
Hmm? No. I'm pretty sure I got my Animal Crossing New Leaf physical from... Oh, no. You're right. I think I got the digital, and later I got a physical.
Oh, I just assumed Canada was being treated differently than us and better.
I mean,
wouldn't be surprised.
In Australia, they probably were being treated better than us.
I'm like 100% sure I got Animal Crossing through Club Nintendo, and I'm pretty sure I have a digital copy and a physical copy.
Nice.
So I do not know if I got the physical copy.
This,
I can't remember.
So this, or you know what, Rick? I think I remember you getting digital and then buying physical because you wanted a cartridge.
No, I think it's because, remember, I told the story a million times on the podcast, because I didn't lend my console to my nephew. My nephew decided to borrow the console without asking, and he took off for like the summer to summer camp. And then when he came back, he had somehow lost my entire save. And so it just got complicated. I ended up buying an extra Animal Crossing because he had a 3DS, so we can both play the game. So I'm not entirely sure if I bought a digital or physical, but whatever. I had two copies of the game, and my original save was deleted, which sucks.
Yeah, it really does.
I'm not sure if any of you guys got this from Club Nintendo, but there's one reward that I really love, and it's been sitting on my shelf for years, and it's the Luigi's Mansion 2 statue. Yeah. And it glows in the dark.
Oh, nice. No, I don't have that.
Yeah, I got that. And then I also, with the 3DS games I bought, I also got the Yoshi holding an app.
The 18 cartridge 3DS holder. And that one I really liked having back in like the peak 3DS days where I could just load a bunch of games into a single case.
See, I always look at like Zelda posters.
It's like, oh, I do. Holder. I also have those. They're in a tube in the closet because I have a grown-up apartment and have yet to find space to put them up.
So wait, Mark, the statue, is it the one that comes with like the dog?
Yes, okay, it comes with the polar dog. There's also one of the standard ghosts on it.
That was like the pinnacle reward that everyone wanted, but it was a ton of points, so you really had to save for it.
I had my points saved, and I was going to get the Game & Watch game, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
And then I saw that it was up, and they only made 3,000 statues, I believe, for the Luigi's Mansion.
There are three of those right now on eBay, and they're all going for at least $100, if not more.
For what, the Game & Watch or the Luigi statue?
Oh, no, for the Luigi's Mansion.
Okay, because the Game & Watch, you're talking about the ball game, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no. It was like a DS collection.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
And they sent you like a physical copy, and it had like 8 games on it, or 6 or something.
What I really wanted was, and maybe it's not even like, not even near like the being close to like the best thing, but it was the gold Wii controller.
Oh yeah, I got that.
You got it?
Or the nunchuck? Yeah.
Yeah. The nunchuck.
So this really does highlight that we actually need to do a discussion of Club Nintendo, but
and rewards programs.
Yeah, it was during the time of the 3DS when all of these 3DS games that we were buying were getting us free stuff from Nintendo's rewards program. Anyway, so the 3DS, rocky start, but clearly a super strong finish because I don't know, Alex, I'm sure your collection puts mine to shame, but if I look at my collection of physical copies, which I almost exclusively do because physical mediums are better, you guys, don't go digital. I look at my shelf, and the majority, like the console that has the most volume of games, the console that has the absolute most number of games, is by leaps and bounds my 3DS.
Yep.
Yeah, same.
It's wild. Like, I look at that library, and there's not a single one of them that I would willingly part with. Like, you know how you look at, sometimes you like look at your Wii U collection, and it's mostly really great, but you like look at something like Pokken, and you're like, I could sell you because I could get the newer version on Switch.
But that's only because you can get the new version on Switch. When I look at my Wii U collection, I feel like I do not need my Wii U collection anymore because it's all on Switch. But
yeah, sure.
If it wasn't on Switch, I would never get rid of those games. I don't see a point in keeping the Wii U collection anymore except for Star Fox. But I get what you're saying. But the console has been around for 10 years. The games are a bit cheaper than actual home console games. And yeah, it does have a good lineup, but my question to you is, do you have more games because it's been out longer, because you play mostly on the go, and because it's cheaper, or just because it has better games than, well, I guess it does have better games than the Wii U.
I mean, the Wii U had some strong games, but there's just a smaller
I will say, yeah, the Wii U, I have a smaller library, but I also don't think I have a single game that I didn't really enjoy there.
Yeah, like, the Wii U was a solid lineup, for sure, but, like, there's also, like, to be fair, the 3DS at the time had Pokemon games. So, of course, there's just a lot of Pokemon on my shelf. So that's kind of, like, some of the reasoning. But I look over there, and I seriously can't... I don't regret any of those purchases. They're all so good. Starting Super Mario 3D Land, which I stand by, is one of the best, most often overlooked 3D Mario games. I don't understand why people are like, oh, 3D World. Yeah, it's good. I really, really liked 3D Land, too.
You know what's crazy? I want to say it is the best game on the 3DS, except I think it's still Link Between Worlds. But also Fire Emblem Awakening got released, which I still haven't played, so I think I need to play Fire Emblem Awakening before I make up.
That is a phenomenal game.
Right, and I love Fire Emblem right now. Rick.
It's Kid Icarus Uprising.
I love that game too.
I love that game, and I got really weirdly into its multiplayer. And I remember that's when I still shared an apartment with my buddy Ryan. And he was like, really, that? And I was like, dude, it's dope. You need to play it with me right now.
Yeah.
I used to love playing that.
I mean, clearly in the top 10.
Today in preparation for this episode, I went through my library and I pulled just like a bunch of games from all throughout the 3DS's lifespan and just booted them up to see how I remembered them, if they, you know, looked as good, played as good, felt as good as I remember. And yeah, I don't think I was disappointed in anything, including the super weird controls of Kid Icarus Uprising. And I think maybe like Super Mario 3D Land graphically did not look quite as sharp as I remembered, but still played fantastic. And like, all of these games were just super, super fun.
But that's the thing, like, okay, so again, I still have not yet played Awakening, but for me, Awakening seems like the kind of game that would age better than a game like Super Mario 3D Land, in which you can start getting a little bit finicky or picky over the controls and the graphics. Maybe I'm wrong, so that is why I really want to play that game before I make up my mind as to what the best game released on the console is. But let's not forget that Mario Kart 7 is a really good game. Ocarina of Time, the 3D version, is, I think, way better than the original version.
Is the way to play that game.
Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure.
Can we also talk about how one of the reasons that I love the 3DS so much is because it gave me not one, but two of the absolute most unanticipated sequels of all time. One being Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon. Like, I lost my mind. I was like, I cannot believe they're doing another Luigi's Mansion. I thought they were one and done, and it was going to be the tragedy of my life that they only ever made one Luigi's Mansion. But then they sequeled one of the best Legend of Zelda games of all time, which is probably the absolute best game on the console. Like, that's, in my eyes, no contest. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I don't know if it's because we just love Zelda so much, and so we're automatically biased, but I do think from a creative, like, point of view, I think there's a lot more there than, say, I don't know, Kid Icarus or Super Mario 3D Land, as good as those games are.
It's all for A Link Between Worlds. If you go back and revisit that game and like actually give it another playthrough, I genuinely think that the puzzle design is so unbelievably clever and rewarding simultaneously. Mm-hmm. That, like, it's still mind-bending, even though I know the solutions half the time now. When you all of a sudden are like, oh, I just need to stick to the wall, and oh, there's a little crack I can go sneak between. Like, it's so incredible that they added an extra dimension to an already dimensional game. It's super, super good.
And I can confirm that. I literally just played through that game again this last year and was like, oh, yeah, this still is really fun and clever. And there were puzzles that I didn't remember the solutions to, and I was impressed with their design. I think that we all do have a bias towards Zelda, but I do think it's still a really remarkable game.
I mean, my...
Oh, wait, guys, I didn't play either of those games, but you know which Zelda game I did play? Because we talked about this when I was here one time. The Legend of Zelda Four Swords Anniversary.
This again?
Yeah!
Back with this? I liked this.
Here's the thing, that game coming out makes me sad that they have still not released the GameCube version as like an online multiplayer on the Switch or the 3DS.
Nintendo, I had lit for a hot second, I had literally every Zelda game on my 3DS and my Wii U collectively, save one that you just refused to give me.
Yep. It's deeply frustrating. Which that is one thing that I always appreciated about the 3DS as a big Zelda fan, is that there was very few Zelda games I could not play on it.
Okay, so here's my question. So we always complain about Nintendo taking too long to release their next new IP or the next new big title, right? So it's like you get, say, what was the last title we got? We got Super Mario All-Stars, and then we might have to wait till end of November to get the next game. Anyways, why is it that people do not buy or play more 3DS games? Because, like, right now, like, think about it. Like, you can go out and buy a 3DS on eBay or, you know, whatever, use down Facebook Marketplace, whatever, and you can get a bunch of games. Like, I've seen people sell, like 50 games for, like, $100, $150, $200. Like, there's so many. Like, I'm looking at the list right now. I guess I'm asking, why am I not doing this? Because you know what I haven't played? The Phoenix Wright games. There's, like, a bunch of them on the system, and apparently they're all incredible. So, you know, a game like Stella Glow. Like, I remember my nephew's friend was telling me, you got to play this game. I've never played it. You talk about P-Cross. I mean, one of the best P-Cross games is on the 3DS, the P-Cross 3D Round 2, whatever it's called. The only series on a 3DS that I never can get into, I never liked, and I regret spending money on these games, is the Monster Hunter series. I got the Monster Hunter game for the Wii, hated it. I got the Monster Hunter games for the 3DS, hated it. I cannot get into that series. Everything else was like, it was either good or fantastic.
That series in particular suffers from needlessly obtuse and grindy, but that kind of stopped with Worlds. So, like, as someone that actually played the one on the Wii U for a good while, like, I can't touch it ever again because Worlds on the Xbox was so much better than it that if they ever go back to anything lesser than that, I don't know what is wrong with them. But, yeah, I totally get what you're saying. And can we also talk about, I know, Rick, you won't care. And Mark, you probably won't care, but can we also talk about the Pokemon games that came out on this thing?
Whoa, well, Tim, I do care. I care about X and Y and Alpha Sapphire, Omega Ruby. But then when Sun and Moon hit, the franchise completely dipped and went downhill. It hit a catastrophe.
Now, I'm not going to get into this argument, but I care only because they make so much money from the Pokemon games. To me, that's a benefit for Nintendo. So keep on making the money, even if I'm not playing it.
Here's what I'll say. One thing that I really appreciate about the 3DS with Pokemon is that much like Zelda, up until Sword and Shield, you could play literally every Pokemon main series game on the 3DS by the end of its lifespan, because it had the virtual console versions of Gen 1 and 2, plus the Gen 3 remakes, Gen 4, Gen 5, 6, 7. And that's spectacular. Like, if you like Pokemon and you want a console, that's the one to get.
Which is why both my 3DSs are actually still both plugged in and both have Pokemon games in them that I actually still play.
It's super fun. And I honestly, like, I know that the 3DS games, that's when people started complaining about it getting too easy or too weird. I still, like, X and Y, honestly, I had a really, really good time playing that game.
It's definitely one of my personal, like, favorites. It just really worked for me, kind of like Sinnoh did with the fourth generation. I just really grew to like that game a lot. I can also recognize that objectively, Mark, I don't care what you say, Sun and Moon were better games. And
they're better than Sword and Shield. I'll give them that. But, because here's the thing, Tim. X and Y, looking back on it, I really don't think it was that great of a Pokemon game, but I do appreciate the step it took in bringing the franchise to the 3D, you know, visuals for the 3DS. And then when we got to Alpha Sapphire and Omega Ruby, I thought it was going to be like the next major leap. Like, they had all these years to figure out everything they did wrong with X and Y and fix everything up. You know, now they have the engine running and all the Pokemon in and everything. And I, because Gen 3 is one of my favorite Pokemon games, I grew up with those. I really love them.
Which definitely immediately explains to me why your opinions are already wrong. Because Gen 3 is definitely one of the worst.
Well, Gen 3, when I also say Gen 3, I also mean like Fire Red, Leaf Green. Because I grew up with those more so than Sapphire and Ruby. But when I played the Gen 3 remakes, I really didn't think it was that much of an upgrade. I really liked them, but compared to the originals, I thought they were a bit, they were missing content, especially in the post game. And there was just not that much to do in it, which I found really sad. And then we made it to Sun and Moon, and I thought this was going to be the next big Pokemon game. And I played it, and I had never been so disappointed in a 3DS game. Because the whole game was so hand-holdy, and it's just dumps of dialogue everywhere, and the Pokemon variety is all over the place. It's never consistent. It's just never, to me at least, I never found the appeal for that game.
Now, Tim, I mean, I get it, though, because, Tim, isn't Sun and Moon the Pokemon game that made your brother quit the franchise?
And it's funny, because I remember talking to him about that, like, I understand that over time, Game Freak started to target these games more and more at kids, which is a little bit problematic for the people like us that actually grew up with the franchise. so that when you are a full-grown adult, and now I have kids of my own, you are kind of like, yeah, I could skip some of this. Sometimes they get that and they listen, which is why I remember like talking to my brother about Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon, and that introduction is so condensed comparatively that then I really was like, oh no, I totally get what you were saying with Sun and Moon. The first time I didn't mind because I expected it, but maybe that's not a pass that I should be giving it. Sword and Shield, they absolutely listened, and you can go on, you're on your adventure in less than 30 minutes doing whatever the heck you want. So it's such a short intro for Sword and Shield. I think that it gets a lot of trash when it did actually make some definite quality of life improvements, but we're not talking about the Switch. It bears noting that Pokemon appeals to people for different reasons, and I'm big into hunting and collecting. So like the SOS system that was introduced in that generation, I thought was super great. The visual style, I really liked. I liked how they set up the map. It wasn't quite as open as what we got with Sword and Shield.
For some,
kind of gave the illusion of it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It was still pretty linear, but it gave
it definitely, more of an illusion of it. Some positives, but overall as a Pokemon game, I thought it took a bit of a... I felt like after Gen 5, the games were headed in such a great direction, and then it just sort of swerved off a different path. And it tried to like more to like a general younger audience, and I just don't understand why they did that.
Yeah, and this isn't a Pokemon podcast, but I feel like Gen 5 is very much misremembered, and like that game is slow and a slog to get through, and they definitely drop the ball narratively. Like, they're telling a really compelling narrative, and then they cop out at the very end, which I think really, in my personal opinion, like, that's enough to just throw out the whole thing and like, nope, narrative failure. That happened with Star Wars recently. Yeah. I was like, everything you've done now is just worthless. Throw the whole thing out. And like, so consequently, Gen 5, also one of the weakest Pokedexes because it was just a poor man's
Gen 1. Gen 5 had problems. But compared to Sun and Moon, I would say it had a lot less. Like a lot less.
All of which is, wait, Rick, real quick. All of which is playable on the 3DS because backwards compatibility with DS cartridges, so holding on to your DS was senseless. The 3DS did it all, baby.
Well, not the Game Boy Advance.
If the 3DS could also play Game Boy Advance, that might be too much for me to handle, like, emotionally. That's too beautiful.
Yeah.
So, but you know the thing is, they keep porting the Wii U games to Switch, and I know, like, we just said that there is an amazing library in the 3DS and has all these great games, but I honestly think that like if you were to take like say the 25 best games or even maybe the 50, they really boil down to like the Zelda series, the Pokemon series, the Fire Emblem series, and maybe Phoenix Wright. And then you got like Dragon Quest.
You can't leave out what was at that time that like the definitive best Animal Crossing.
Yeah, I was gonna say that. And then you got Animal Crossing, Dragon Quest, right? And you can make an argument for maybe like one or two more games, but the point is, like, I kind of feel like these games would be not only perfect, but it they kind of should port these games to the Switch. Like, they should port Legend of Zelda Link Between Worlds. They should have Ocarina of Time 3D on the, or maybe not 3D, but Ocarina of Time on the Switch. And, you know, like, I mean, we do not need Mario Kart 7. We don't need Super Smash Brothers. So, like, you can just, like, forget about those games. But
they did port one game, which was Monster Hunter. They ported, was it 3 or 4? Which one was it?
3, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, but one of them's on Switch, and it's literally 3DS.
Yeah, but there's games like SteamWorld Heist and, you know, Shovel Knight and Cave Story. Those games are available on Switch, like, and those are, like, some of the best games on the 3DS. So what I'm trying to get at here is I really do think they need to start port. The thing about Fire Emblem, it's huge. And I've been saying this forever, like, why not port Shadows of Valentia and Fire Emblem Awakening to the Switch? You'll make so much money. Why not port more of the Phoenix Wright games to the Switch? You'll make so much money. Even Dragon Quest, like, it's becoming huge now, especially with the character in Super Smash Bros. So I think, like, yeah, if you were to take the list of, like, the 25 best games, I think there's a good case to be made that most of those games should be ported to the Switch, which leads me to ask you guys, if they were to do this, right? I guess apart from maybe your Pokemon save files, like, would you even still whip out the Switch to continue playing it, or would the 3DS just completely take over at this point? Because it's taken over for the Wii U. Like, is anyone going to plug in your Wii U nowadays?
I still have my Wii U plugged in, and every now and then we'll play on it. Just not nearly as often. I think, honestly, I would probably still occasionally opt for the 3DS, but not nearly as much. But it's also going to depend on the price point that those games would come out as. I am, you know, pretty far away from when I spent money on those. But at the same time, like, I did already throw down $40 for a game. So throwing down another $60 to play it again in a higher resolution just doesn't quite sit super well with me. But it, you know, being able to throw it on the TV would be nice.
I can't remember. Is Luigi's Mansion the original on any console apart from
it's only on GameCube and 3DS?
Yeah,
Santa Maria. It's only on GameCube.
It's funny that you said that. If they did it with select hits from the 3DS that just seemed like they were a natural fit, I might repurchase them. I think the big one for me would probably be like Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon if they resold that to me. Also Luigi's Mansion, because they didn't come to the Switch and it went to the 3DS, and that was disappointing for me. I would buy again. Two-pack.
Luigi's Mansion All-Stars.
Just so you know, I can have the whole series on one console, which is how I like to roll.
Man, what I wouldn't give for Nintendo to do more of those. Just like, give us a Zelda 2D cartridge where I can just play everything.
Yeah, for sure. So, like, I would definitely buy into that, but there's too much that, like, with the backwards compatibility, I like, my 3DS is a gold mine of games. They can play, seriously, like, dozens and dozens of different games from my closet. And I just wouldn't readily unplug it and take it away. I don't think they could ever truly replace it. But you know what might be a good first step?
Metroid Samus Returns?
Nope. That's nothing.
Kirby's Planet Robobot.
You guys like are looking. You guys.
I have never played it. And I've so always good. Wanted to.
You guys are so simpletons. You're simpletons, and you're thinking small scale right now. You guys, Street Pass.
We said Street Pass at the start of the podcast.
We didn't talk about it. It was the best thing in the world.
Street Pass is old news.
Street Pass is
the best thing in the world.
I really miss it. Tim, I when I booted up my 3DS, I went and looked at Swapnote to try to find all the dumb comics we used to send back and forth. That was a nostalgia good. Trip.
Oh, man. Those are NSFW for sure, too.
Yeah.
Those were, yeah.
Lots of swears. With the 3DS, the thing that I'm thinking over and that I'm kind of, like, mourning is that while the Switch can be played in a handheld mode, I feel like Nintendo pulling the plug on the 3DS is, in a way, the end of traditional handheld gaming. That's a bummer.
They have the Switch Lite.
Yeah, but that's not going to fit in my pocket because I don't wear JNCOs. I don't know. I guess it's just, like, to me, it feels like I don't think I was ever more connected with playing games than when I was carrying my 3DS with me everywhere. So to see, like, it replaced by a much bigger, granted, admittedly, like, a lot more powerful console, is like, this is cool, but man, I'm gonna miss those days.
Oh, absolutely. I remember doing so many weird things while, like, waiting for class in college, or, like, you know, you just pull it out at any old time. It's so light, so portable, and still had, like, such a wealth of options for what to play. Not to mention a totally free series of games that involved bumping into people that you didn't know.
You really loved Street Pass.
Street Pass was so good, guys.
Although, okay, so here's the thing. Street Pass also got me, like, kind of hooked on playing my other games, because when the games built that functionality in well, I would go back to them, like Super Mario 3D Land. It would just evaluate the other person's times on levels against yours, and you would either be bumped from the top spot or you would keep it. And so I would go back in every time I street passed somebody, and I would play through all of the levels that they had beat me on Super Mario 3D Land, trying to be the best.
That's incredible.
Just to wrap up the podcast really quick, the last thing I'm going to say, going back to what Alex said, is the problem is like things are changing, right? It's like, I would love to still have video stores. I would love to still be able to go out and rent video games at a video store, so I don't have to drop $80 on a game that I can finish on one night, right? I would like to still rent DVDs or Blu-rays, but like, I don't know, things are changing and the digital world is taking over the physical world. And I think the thing is, like, I think Nintendo needs something like the Switch. Like, I'm actually kind of surprised, but I'm actually surprised they released the Switch Lite, because, you know, I mentioned earlier, I used to work at an elementary school and there were kids that had the 3DS and, you know, back, I think the Switch had just come out at that point in time. But the point, like, the thing is, most of the parents or most of the, whatever, they just, the family members, they didn't want to spend for an extra handheld console, because all of the kids nowadays, they have what's called a cell phone and they play Fortnite and shit on their cell phone. And so that's the thing. So it's going to get like I'm not saying Nintendo, like Nintendo's always going to be successful so long as they keep making video games, because that's what they're good at, right? We can argue about their consoles and their controllers and all the hardware, but the video games is what makes Nintendo Nintendo. Yeah. But they're going to have to adapt and change, and that comes with pricing and how they release video games. And like, yeah, I mean, again, I'm not surprised that Switch is doing so well because it's a hybrid. But if they released a Switch and it was just a handheld console, I think it would have bombed. I don't think anyone would have bought it.
And I think that's why traditional handheld gaming is done, is because now we have the Switch, we have hyper-powerful consoles that a handheld can't compete with at home, and we have cell phones, and there really just isn't a market for it anymore. It's a very niche product. But man, it was just such a good time to play games and to be in that community.
Yeah, unless Nintendo goes all in on mobile games and like commits to making some sort of something that can fit over your phone and give you controllers so that you can play a game properly and not with some gimmicky swipe mechanics. Like, if you guys played Mario Kart Tour, it's not fun.
So, I just remembered something that we forgot to mention. Nintendo Video. I don't know if you guys ever used that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They would just, like, randomly publish stuff for you to watch, right?
Yeah, and they had, like, shorts from, like, College Humor. Yeah.
So random. They were really going for, like, all sorts of strange projects back then, and I really loved it. But yeah, unless Nintendo goes all in on mobile, like quite literally with cell phones, I totally am with you, Alex. I think it's a sign of the time that we finally, after years of normies asking for them to just put all the portable and home console games together so that they could buy one console and still play Xbox or PlayStation or PC or whatever. They actually did it, and it's better than anyone could have imagined, I think. I think that we're probably done there with portable gaming.
And the last thing I'm going to say is I still think, like, my theory is people nowadays, that they don't have a sentimental attachment to stuff like video games or movies, whatever, like we did growing up. So they're okay to buy digital copies, right? For us, we needed, like, I'm not saying everyone, but I'm saying, like, the majority of people, like, we needed our physical copy of whatever game because it meant something to us, and we like to have it on our shelf so when people come over, they know what kind of video games we like and movies we like, and we start a conversation, and it's a collector's piece and so on and so forth. And the new generation, like, a lot of the kids that I know and my nephews and whatever, they just don't care. Like, they just don't care. They don't want the physical copies of movies or video games or anything, really. They just want it digital, and they want to be able to take it on the go, and they want everything to be convenient. So times are changing.
Yeah, and then one of these days someone's going to pull the plug on the internet, and then guess what? I'll be laughing because I'll have all of my physical copies, and yours will be on some non-existent cloud, you youths. So I'll show all of you when I defeat the internet. The final thing I want to say is that realistically, looking back at a console is always interesting, but with my entire time with the 3DS, I could definitely tell that it was something special. And realistically, I remember saying, like, this might be my favorite Nintendo console, realistically. Mm-hmm. Like, as much nostalgia as I have for the N64 and as much as I like that console, everything that the 64 could do, the 3DS could do better, clearly, because look at Majora's Mask and The Legend of, or Ocarina of Time on that thing. But, like, even now, I don't know, there's something really special about that library, that experience. There is not quite anything comparable to, like Alex was saying, taking it with you everywhere. Going to a Mariners game and ordering stuff with a 3DS, like, no other console has ever done anything like that and may ever do anything like that ever again. So, I don't know, it's...
Yeah, 2020, man. It's also the year in which they decided to end Farmville. Like, this is the very first Flash game for Facebook, a platform that has over 5 billion people, right? And, like, they no longer are continuing Farmville. Like, it's insane.
Yeah, I mean, it was a matter of time. Not with Farmville. I don't care about Farmville.
Maybe you don't care about Farmville, but Farmville is a kind of, it's like a huge game, right? And it's something you can play on the go. Like, that's a prime example of a game that millions and millions of people used to play on their cell phone on the go. And that was released in 2009. And now 11 years later in 2020, it's coming to an end. I mean, you know, like, it just goes to show how far we've come with mobile games. Like, that was a Flash game for Facebook. Huge.
Yeah.
And now we're playing like Fortnite on our phones. I got a new phone a few days ago. The damn phone's almost as big as a Switch. Like, it's insane. These cell phones these days, man.
Yeah. Well, we hope, listener, you liked the 3DS as much as we did. And thank you all for being here for these final kind words. And now it'll just be one of those maybe weird things that'll show up when we have a guest and we play 5 questions and someone says 3DS, and I say, you might be right there. That console was one of the greatest. Anyway, Alex, thank you for joining us this week. Where can we find you online?
You can find me on Twitter at MostToysAlex. You can find me on the Game Boys podcast on GoomasTom.com. You can find me on Friday.com doing genre and horror news and reviews. You can find me on Steam and Xbox One at Vanny Vedito. And right after this episode, I'm going to be on my 3DS, but I won't be online.
And Mark, what about you?
You can find all my articles at GoombaStomp.com. And if you want to follow me on social media, it's always at the Markal, and that's Mark with a C and Cal with a K.
And Rick, what about you?
I handle the official Twitter account for Tilt Magazine and GoombaStomp, so it's GoombaStomp Mag. There's also the NXpress podcast Twitter account, which we never pimp out for whatever reason. But yeah, you can follow the NXpress Twitter account, which I think is NXpress Nintendo. All of the links are always over at the website, GoombaStomp.com. Please visit the website as much as you can, because by visiting the website, you help pay, you help us generate revenue through ads, which helps pay for writers who produce articles and podcasts and, you know, produce content for you guys, right?
Insane. Anyway, I'm Tim Mason. You can find me at The Freemason, M-A-I-S-O-N, on Twitter. Check out my work on GoombaStomp, including Game Boys podcast, all about co-op and multiplayer. If you like dumpster fighters, I should say. Alex is here to second that this time. Anyway, we hope you like the show. Go to wherever you listen, drop us a rating and a review. We'll talk to you more next week with all things Nintendo.